Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
So what are the dangers of suicide contagion?
Yeah, the dangers of suicide contagion, which means basically where you have one suicide or a number of suicides, it leads to more suicides. So those particular suicides may be leading to more suicides.
And there have been many peer-reviewed journals over the past decade, and they've indicated that young people are more vulnerable to potential suicide contagion. Why is this?
Well, it's a number of things. When it comes to things like in schools, when you have suicide in a school setting, young people have larger friend circles, and they may be prone to being exposed to the actual suicide death. And that means actually identifying with the individual that's died, and also maybe understanding some information around how they died. And also in school settings, you may find that young people may memorialise or focus very strongly on the act.
And your company Mindframe, it had released statistics about suicide in Australia last year, and every age group, male deaths are triple that of females. So why are males more at risk?
Well, no, actually, both males and females are at risk of suicide. And it can be different cohorts amongst male and female. They're even higher at risk as well. The reason why male suicide rates are higher is usually down to the type of methods that they may attempt to take their own life, whereas female rates are thought to be actually higher in attempts. Males do actually use more lethal means.
And suicide is obviously a tough topic to talk about, but one that must be addressed in order to assist. So how do we have healthy conversations online and in person about suicide and mental illness?
Well, the important thing to realise is that silence is dangerous too, because we don't want to stigmatise the issue and the feeling, and for people who have feelings of suicide or feeling of helplessness, that issue of it's not talked about, hence they may not reach out because they may not feel that people are ready to speak to them. So it's really important that we don't just have conversations about death. I think conversations about death may be harmful, and they may normalise or not give the opportunity to actually focus on public health messaging that enables people to have those not just safer conversations, but safer interventions, and also to learn things that may help them more, what we call upstream in healthy lifestyles. People can go online to a range of resources. There's Beyond Blue, there's Conversations Matter. A lot of resources actually are now housed on the new Life in Mind Australia website, which is kind of a digital gateway to what's happening in suicide prevention. It's there for the sector and for the local primary health networks around the country to find out what resources and initiatives and education and training happen. But it's also a community section where it has lots of guiding principles, tips and tools of how to actually support someone who may be doing it tough or thinking of suicide.
Yeah, definitely. There are some great resources out there. When it comes to celebrity suicides, there can be quite a lot of people that are impacted by it, by how they are shown in the media, and obviously they are quite influenced by them. So in terms of postvention, what are some healthy ways to express that grief?
Look, it's important to see that a recent study by David Fink in America, they showed that there was potentially over a four-month period a 10% increase in male suicide from the ages of 30 to 44 in the aftermath of the death of Robin Williams. Now, it's not just the celebrity that's died. It's the mass saturation of media coverage and the types of media coverage that's happening. And that's where they focus very heavily on the methods used, sometimes what we call sensational reporting. And for people who are vulnerable, who are listening or seeing these images, it can really impact on how they're feeling and may reinforce their ideation. So what we ask the media to do is to bear in mind some simple guidance or principles from the MindFrame Media Initiative, where it asks media to first reflect on what's being reported and what's coming from overseas. If it's a death that's in Australia, you should be really mindful of what information they're getting from the police. Often the family may not want to reveal information because they want to wait for a coronial inquest. But it is an opportunity for media to report sensitively not focus too much on the act and have an opportunity to speak to experts. And these can be a range of experts that may focus on, particularly if it's a middle-aged male, it might be worth having a conversation with Beyond Blue or the Black Dog Institute or EveryMind around what's depression and how can we normalize help-seeking behavior. So there's some really important conversations to be had there. And this is really important for the family and friends who are bereaved, who are also at heightened risk as well. So we're able to offer help-seeking opportunities for those in crisis, but also to actually engage in a conversation to debunk myths that people do this for a cry for help. You know, we have to take suicide very, very seriously. It's important that people engage in the issue and know where to go to actually get hold of the right information.
Yeah, definitely. And recently you did share an article and it was talking about empowering those survivors to have the conversation. So how do we reach out to suicide loss survivors?
Look, there's a range of things people can do. I think with the issue around lived experience, this is kind of not so much of a new thing, but it's a movement that's getting a lot of traction. And for people like myself in the suicide prevention sector, we're starting to listen more to the views of those with lived experience in the design of resources. There's an organization called Roses in the Ocean that's a national organization that's following evidence-based procedures, but it also has a very heavily involvement with lived experience people. And for us at MindFrame, when we're developing resources for those with lived experience on talking to the media or public speaking, we very much engage with agencies such as Roses in the Ocean to make sure that it's informed and designed with, not for.
And just finally, are there any certain words or phrases that we should avoid using?
Look, there's a number of issues that media can consider, or people online when they're having conversations. Look, one word is committed suicide. Us in the sector, those with lived experience, we're kind of like seeing it as a word that's associated with a sin and a crime, and it can reinforce that stigma around the conversations that we may want to have online or by the media. And it's important that media use alternative language around that issue.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us. And I'm sure that if anyone is even impacted by this conversation, that they can reach out to Lifeline, Beyond Blue and Suicide Callback Service. And for young people, there's Kids Helpline, and online there's Headspace. And for more information, for young people, reachout.com.